Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together in your house with your people. And Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds just for the few moments that we have to open your word, Lord, that you would empower it to speak to us, and we'll thank you for that, and then that you will continue to bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is simply that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that's maybe a simple title. We can look at that and say, you know, that's quite clear. But, you know, the Lord is really wanting us to understand what that means, the difference that He wants to make in our lives. It's not by our effort, but it's by the grace of God that these things take place. And believe it or not, you know, a lot of times you can be saved and enjoy salvation and know that it was a complete gift of God that you did absolutely nothing for it. Is that true? And yet, we cannot put that same handle on the walk of faith, that God does it all through us, and He's the one that makes us not bricks, but living stones. And that's where the difference is made. So there are a lot of, for example, you know, you might be a little confused concerning the Protestant Reformation. Well, Baptists are not Protestants, just in case you wondered. Baptists have been around since the shores of Galilee when the Lord started His church. Now, here's the problem, all right? The protesting Reformation, they were protesting the Catholic Church to reform it. The problem with the Catholic Church is that it started in 317 with Constantine the Great, 300 and some odd years after, or at least almost 300 and some odd years after the beginning of the Lord's local New Testament church. So it does not have the authority that belongs to the Lord's local New Testament church. So there are bricks in there because the Protestant Reformation brought everybody in. Who started it? Well, Martin Luther did, and that's where the Lutheran church came from. But what happened to the Lutheran church? Well, if you see, it reverted back to its mother, right? And that's why I'm convinced, and you can differ with me on this, and that's all right. I don't think this is worth splitting hairs. But when it talks about the mother of harlots in the book of Revelation, and that's going to be the end world religion, it's talking about the Catholic Church, because that's where the Episcopalians came from, that's where the Presbyterians came from, that this whole Protestant, the Lutherans came from, and what they're doing is they're all going back towards their mother, which is the Catholic Church. If you go to a Protestant church today, you will think you're in a Catholic service. They have reverted back. They had come out from it. Now, I believe Martin Luther understood salvation and was saved. I believe some others that were part of the Protestant movement were saved. But the problem was the Lord did not build up a house. They were living stones here and there, but they did not make up the house of the Lord, as His churches have been called to do and ordained to do. And that's why the Bible tells us here in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 3, "Unto Him be glory in the church," not the Protestant Reformation, but in the Lord's church. Be careful today that we don't call everything that calls itself a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is not. If they believe you can lose your salvation, that's not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it possible for somebody to be saved in a church that does not belong to the Lord? If the gospel is preached and somebody gets saved, but if they're indwelt with the Spirit, why would they stay there? Why would they stay there? And again, there's so many different denominations that believe that they can lose their salvation. But God, listen, God wants his people and his church to be living stones. Well, where does that life come from? Not from us. It has to come from God. And God wants us to be witnesses. Well, some people confuse that and say, well, you know, we're to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world knows who Jesus Christ is for the most part. I'm not saying that there aren't people that don't know who Jesus Christ is, but I dare say the majority of the populace in the United States knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So God is not wanting us to be a witness to tell them of things that they already know. God is wanting us to be a witness of the grace of God in our lives, that they might see Christ in us. Listen, when the Israelites were freed from Egypt and they were coming into Jericho, and they were coming into the inhabitants of Canaan, of the promised land that God had called them to, and the people heard about it. Some of them feared about what had taken place 40 years prior. Well, what were the Israelites? They were a witness of the working power of God. If the Red Sea did not open up, if God did not do great and mighty things for them, hey, listen, we're just going to tell you about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That wouldn't have done a whole lot, but it was a testimony of the power of God in their own personal lives. That's what's going to turn the world upside down. Now, again, it's easy for us to understand eternal life, but what's really missing, and what we really need to understand, it takes some time, and I don't know why it's. Listen, I'm just scratching the surface of it, but praise God, we ought to move into it because that's the promised land that God has given to us. We don't want to just be those that are wandering out there, saved children of God, weren't they? The Israelites, as they were wandering out in the wilderness, we want to walk into the land that flows with milk and honey, where we are at awe with our God. And the world looks at that and says, listen, there's something different in them. I've heard about Jesus, but what I am witnessing in their life is something I've never seen before. I understand about Jesus, but I'm seeing something in their life that I want, right? The world says this to Christian, to religion. I don't want any of that. I mean, my goodness, I'd rather be fishing than in church on Sunday. That's because what do they think about church? Well, we sing a few hymns, we hear a good sermon, and that's it. No, we meet with God to worship him, to understand more about the relationship that he's given to us. But if that's not taking place, although we belong to the Lord by grace through faith, we're dead. We're dead. We're not that living stone. And by the way, we cannot manufacture that life. God has to give it. But we must believe by faith that he has given us the promises, and we must take possession by faith. Lord, I'm believing you. Is he changing our lives? That's the bottom line. That's where faith puts their trust in the Lord and watches the work of God. We are his workmanship created by, listen, in the Lord Jesus Christ to walk in good works. We can't do that. We know that, but God has promised to do that. So let's look at a couple of things tonight. What happens in the life of a believer when Christ is dwelling in our hearts by faith? Five things. I don't know if we'll get to them tonight, but let's look at a couple of them. We will understand this gift is granted by God to the believer. Secondly, we will be rooted and grounded in love. Remember what the Lord said to his disciples? How they will know that you belong to me? By the love that you have one toward another. Listen, did Peter and John love each other? Remember Peter? Lord, what about him? What about him? Right? We're talking about a deep, affectionate love. It's easy to be kind one to another, but when you walk with them day in and day out, now you've got another relationship, right? Peter and John lived together, didn't they? They went everywhere together, and it's easy for siblings to be at odds maybe sometimes, is it not? You see siblings and you think, oh, what a beautiful relationship they have. Well, I would dare say all siblings squabble at different times, right? And so when you live with somebody, now loving one another can take on a whole other, how would you say, dimension in that relationship. But God is saying, I will give the love that will root and ground you and that you'll have one toward another. Then thirdly, we'll know the love of Christ, and that's important. And then also what happens is that we will know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Great abundance. And then we'll understand to a greater degree that that is how God will receive glory through the church throughout all ages, world without end. So in other words, the Lord is saying, listen, if the power of God is abiding on you, you're going to be different. If the power of God has saved you, that's the grace of God, your eternal destination is heaven. That won't ever be taken away, but God wants us to have his power that we might be the witnesses to the world that changes the world, that flips the world upside down. Not just that tells them about, listen, we're not just transferring information. We're not just teaching them a history lesson, are we? Or is it a relationship with God? Do you see the difference? We're not just giving them a history lesson. We're not just teaching them doctrine. You can teach the lost person doctrine. Will that change their life? Not if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're not careful, we get all busy with doctrine, what we know and what we should know and what we shouldn't know, and we miss out on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be careful about that. So let's look at verse 16 just for a moment here. Notice what it says here. In fact, let's back up to verse 13 real quick. And here's what it says. Wherefore, Paul saying, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Listen, the potential of fainting at those tribulations, because the natural mind sees a hardship. Who wants tribulations? Not me. But what if it brings forth God's work? Listen, Paul said, I'm excited about my relationship with God. I'm pressing toward the mark. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Where did that come from? Well, he had a relationship with the Lord, and where he walked with him, that he understood that when I am weak, therewith Christ is made strong. Right? I'm strengthened by my weakness to look to the Lord and not to myself. So he goes on, he says, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this is not natural. This is an unusual witness. Verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, I know we looked at this, and this will probably be the last message here on this, but this is an important truth. Again, we are not transferring biblical information. What we're trying to do is experience the resurrection power that God has given to us. What God is wanting us to do is to take possession of the promises that he's written in his word that's for every saved child of God, that's for every believer. That's what's going to, the life of Christ in us is what's going to give us peace. It's what is going to give us joy. And it's what's going to give the world the witness of God of their great need of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if all they see is, my goodness, well, they're faithful to church. And boy, you can ask them a question and they'll tell you what they believe. What is that? It's good to know, but we would see Jesus. Isn't that what they said? We would see Jesus. And by the way, that's what Christ wants everybody to see, ready? In your life and mine. Isn't that amazing? God has chosen to glorify his name through the church. May I ask you the question again? Who's the church? We're the church. God wants to glorify himself through you and I. So let's just take a few moments again here. Look, verse 16. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by might, by his Spirit in the inner man. Listen, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with some of the saints, right? Most of them? With all of them. Listen to this. What is the breadth, length, depth, and height? I think he covered all the dimensions there, did he not? God wants us to understand every dimension and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. He said that, I didn't. God wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God. He doesn't want us just to do what we think the Bible tells us we're supposed to do. He wants us to be filled with the fullness of God, that God might do it through us. Listen, the difference is this. We stand back in awe. Did Moses take any credit for parting the Red Sea? Could anybody do that? How about Joshua? We're studying Joshua in Sunday school class. Could he take, the men are anyway, could he take credit for the walls coming down? I mean, I would say that was an unorthodox military move, wouldn't you? I would say nobody since then, I think, that I know of, has tried that maneuver again. And yet it was successful. Why? Was it the fancy foot marching of the Israelite army? Was it the perfect clear? You know how you can play a high C and shatter glass? Was that what it was? When everything sounded, it was just at the right pitch? What was it that brought the walls down? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? What will it be that will transform our lives for the honor and glory of God? It has to be Him. We cannot do it ourselves. And if we'll put our faith or trust in that, then we can do this. Listen, we can take this to heart. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able, listen to this, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's not our power, is it? It's his power. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Listen, don't just take the doctrine and learn it. God wants us to experience it. God wants us to say to him, Lord, make that real in my life. And here's the crazy truth. This is the faith part. Ready? And we're done. He's already done it. We don't have to have special prayer meetings. He's already done it. Are we not already children of God? And as children of God, joint heirs with Christ, does anything else have to take place? And indwelt with the Holy Spirit? We don't need to ask God, listen to this, for something he's already done. All we have to do is ask God to help us understand how to receive it by faith or trusting him for it. You see the difference? May we trust you, Lord, in what you've already given to us, that you might give it to us and or help us to walk in it. See, it's so easy to say, okay, well, this is what, if you'll cross this T and dot this I, that's how you do it. But that's not, it's already been given. And then may we walk in it. And that's how, listen, souls will be saved. And lives changed, beginning with our own. So if we're not seeing that take place, and by the way, God wants the scripture here in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And again, who is he saying this to? Believers. Are they not already saved? Well, why is he saying that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith? Because that is an unnatural thing to take place. It's supernatural. And it's something only that God can do. So tonight, God says, call on me, and I'll answer. Ask me, and I'll show you what? Great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Remember, he said that to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had already experienced great things from the Lord and deliverance. But he says, I've got more to show you. And he has more to show us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we ask that you would bless again the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer. And Lord, that you would help us to understand and to receive and to walk in what you've already purchased, provided, and given to us. And Lord, that we might be the witnesses that you've called us to be, and that building fitly joined together of living stones to honor and glorify you, world without end, throughout all the ages here in your local New Testament church. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.